two voting places in Skodak and Brunswick really prevent a lot of people in the city of Troy from easy access to voting.
I literally use this example all across the country, and I've seen where the advanced welding is now. It's fabulous.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, you can early vote in Rensselaer County, but not in its biggest city. And U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand promotes rural development in Plattsburgh. But first, a big thank you to everyone who helped make the WAMC October Fund Drive a big success. We pulled in over $1 million in donations from listeners like you, and we did it in a lockbox, one full day, and just the morning of Tuesday of this week. An incredible outpouring of support. We thank you. Your donations help us make shows like this. Well, concerns over the lack of an early voting site in Troy, New York, have led to a push for new state legislation. That story from WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas.
New York State's first 10 days of early voting starts Saturday. But for residents of Rensselaer County's largest city, casting a ballot depends on finding a way to get to one of two designated early polling places, neither of which is served by public transportation. Democratic State Senator Neil Breslin.
The two voting places in Skodak and Brunswick really prevent a lot of people in the city of Troy from easy access to voting. Thus, John McDonald, myself, have sponsored legislation to change that, and to change it principally, the new legislation, which will not be before the Senate and the Assembly until January. But that legislation would say that the top municipality in that county comes first, whether it be village, city, town. In this case, it's the city of Troy. And the city of Troy, under this legislation, would have a place to vote.
Breslin was joined by fellow Democrats, Assemblyman John McDonald and Troy Mayor Patrick Madden, who is running for re-election Tuesday at Unity House, a site that had offered itself as an early polling place in the Collar City. Unity House CEO Chris Burke.
We serve thousands of families in Troy, many of whom have barriers to transportation. We became involved with the League of Women Voters, Russell Sage, Troy Area United Ministries, and the NAACP in an effort to try to get an early voting site in Troy. And as we were involved, we realized that we were a central location and met all the handicap accessibility requirements.
Breslin was asked whether discrimination was a factor. The Republican-led county legislature, responsible for establishing the early voting sites, has denied any wrongdoing.
I think there's an argument to say that you are depriving groups of people in the city of Troy that might not have transportation, might be working two or three different jobs, an inability to properly vote in this election, depriving them of their constitutional right to do so.
Madden says early voting should be the norm across the state.
We ought to be making it as easy as possible for every eligible voter to participate in this central tenet of democracy. Early voting is a common sense move, and it is long overdue.
Republican City Council President Carmela Mantello, also running to hold her seat, says she advocated for a polling site in the city of Troy back in April.
Troy is home, the hub of the county, but saying that ultimately the Board of Election and Commissioners decide where the early voting sites are. So I think it's important moving forward that, obviously politics be put aside, which I believe they have, and the Board of Elections considers Troy for next year as having an early voting site. And certainly there comes a cost because next year there's three elections. You have two primaries and then you have the general election. So that certainly would be more money, so hopefully the state will provide additional dollars for that purpose. I understand Senator Breslin has proposed a bill. I work in the legislature, so I cannot lobby for that bill, but I certainly support that bill.
Breslin says although his bill will not impact this year's voting, It's likely it will be passed next year in time for the 2020 elections. State lawmakers return to Albany in January. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
New York U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is introducing legislation intended to help rural communities access federal grants for long-term projects. The Democrat was at Clinton Community College in Plattsburgh on Monday to discuss how it would help initiatives like the school's Institute for Advanced Manufacturing. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley has more.
Senator Gillibrand took a quick tour of the Institute for Advanced Manufacturing, a 30,000-square-foot facility that opened in 2017 on the Clinton Community College campus that partners with the region's manufacturers to provide technology and workforce education.
I'm so excited to see it. I literally use this example all across the country, and I've seen where the advanced welding is now. It's fabulous.
What other stuff do they teach here?
They do laser printing. They also do the, right behind you, the robotics.
See, I'm so excited to see what you're doing here.
New York's junior U.S. senator then described how legislation she is introducing would help initiatives like the Institute be funded in rural areas across New York and the nation. The Democrat says the Rebuild Rural America Act would create a $50 billion grant program to specifically target rural regions.
Federal grants are often too narrow and inflexible to support the development needs of rural communities. Our system simply doesn't work for rural communities. This bill would level the playing field for rural communities by overhauling our current federal funding models. The block grants would be flexible, allowing the communities to address a wide range of issues and putting the decision-making back into the hands of the community members themselves. It would empower communities to invest across a variety of industries to address complex challenges a region may face and help them to grow their economies.
North Country Chamber President Gary Douglas says many federal development programs are tilted toward urban areas, and this bill would help rural development opportunities.
While conceptually they were open to areas like ours, you could never effectively compete. You could never compete with the metro areas with their numbers and the way things were skewed. She has, in recent years, changed language, done amendments, added programs that are directed to rural regions.
The bill includes the formation of regional rural partnership councils. Gillibrand says the concept predates New York's regional economic development councils and is partly based on her past experiences with North Country officials.
We're calling for regional rural partnership councils made up of a cross-section of local leaders, including elected officials, economic development organizations, cooperatives, higher ed, and foundations. That's what we've been doing in the North Country for my entire 12 years in public service. So frankly, the idea came from here. And it is the best model because every time we come up with what's the best way to invest money locally, it's already agreed upon. All the local leaders have already bought in. All the local employers have already bought in. The community colleges have bought in and the state schools have bought in. So this is what works. And so it's really based on what the North Country, frankly, has been doing since I started out as a House member in 2006.
Clinton Community College President Ray DePasquale is enthusiastic that the bill builds in long-term sustainability for grants.
The ability to be able to plan ahead and say, we've got this funding for 5 years, potentially 10 years, is what is so critical, because so often we'll get a grant, it's for 1 year or 2 years, and then the funding goes away and you can't sustain it. This bill would allow $50 billion to be infused into the United States and give us sustainability that whatever we're doing, if we're hiring new instruction, if we're providing training, that people can then begin to plan knowing that that funding will be sustained for multiple years.
Senator Gillibrand also outlined the Rebuild Rural America Act during a visit to Hudson, New York with Congressman Antonio Delgado earlier Monday. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.